We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. 'Cause we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're thank you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to
together wonderful,
all together wonderful to me.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Romans 12:1.
I have been crucified with Christ and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20.
Yeah, so in view of God's mercy today, we want to just fully offer ourselves over to him, to be used by him, dying to self, and allowing Jesus to just live and work through us. And as we do that, I just invite you to, you know, come forward to the altar or take some other sort of posture to just outwardly express that to the Lord as we continue in worship.
Gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold. Through the deepest valley, he will. Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave.
Lord, we stand before you this morning in humility, acknowledging that on our own we are nothing, we can do nothing. Lord, it is only by abiding in you, your Spirit moving and working through us, Lord, that we find our purpose, that we see fruit. We are completely and totally dependent upon you. So even this morning, Lord, as we look into your word, we acknowledge that we are dependent upon your Spirit to convict us, to reveal the truth to us. And so that is what we ask of you this morning, Lord. And we trust that that is a prayer you will answer, God, if we would just stand before you, willing to receive. So, Lord, I at least speak for myself, and with any other receptive hearts this morning, we ask that you would speak, for we are listening. And we look forward to fresh encounters with you through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated at this time. And the children, ages kindergarten to sixth grade, are free to go to Children's Church. But for the rest, is the microphone working? I can only hear myself. Can you guys hear me?
So as many of you know, there I am, as a lot of you who were here last week know, we were celebrating communion last week and had the opportunity to serve that and wasn't expecting anything out of the ordinary from it. It's something we do, of course, every month. But just as I was standing here and as we were taking communion together, just felt a deep sense of grief, just over and I know this is going to sound weird, like, over the empty chairs in the room. And so, like, I'm not saying this to for any shame or anything like that, but just, you know, it is a fact that our church is smaller now than it was 5 years ago. And there are a lot of reasons for that, a lot of very good reasons for that. I mean, I know not being here 5 years ago, I don't know anything that's changed or anything like that. And of course, you know, it's the summer. There was a pandemic 5 years ago, and that's just wreaked havoc on church attendance and things like that. But whatever the case may be, whatever the reason may be, maybe I'm just, you know, reading too far into something. Just there is just the reality that there are more people than ever before, and church attendance in our country is as low as it's been in a long time. Not just here, not just in the Alliance, but really everywhere. And you know, I just don't know that I feel that enough. And I don't know if we feel that enough. And you know, I asked the Lord just to speak truth into my life this week and, you know, help me to work through and, you know, process whatever that grief was that showed up on last Sunday. And so last night, as I was, you know, just finishing up the sermon, preparing this morning, that came up again and came up pretty powerfully in my own life. And just God speaking in me of, like, I'm the first one that needs to repent of just a life that is not lived in view of others. You know, I'm not someone who is orienting my life around being around unbelievers and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to them. And I think, you know, there are a lot of reasons for that. I'm not going to get into it. This isn't a therapy session that I want to, you know, just air my life to you guys right now. But, you know, I think just recognizing in myself, and I think I'm not the only one who, you know, our lives are just not oriented towards the nations, and not just the nations out there, but the nations around us. So I just want us to just take a few minutes this morning before we get into this time. I really have no expectations of, like, how short or long this is going to be. You know, I have a prepared sermon that I'm excited to give, and, you know, if this turns into something bigger than I'm expecting, I'm okay with us shelving that for next week and just talking for a few minutes about the first verse so we can at least have a sermon time, and then for the rest of the time, spend together just thinking through this topic. But this is really something that I want to pray into. And I don't want you guys to overreact. I can't, like, put enough disclaimers on this. The church is fine. Like, this isn't the desperation of someone who's worried about the future of the church. We're doing well. We're doing fine. Like, we're healthy. But I would love to see just more people coming to know the Lord. You know, more people coming from unbelief to belief. You know, it's great when people find more healthy churches, when people go from unhealthy churches to healthy churches. I think that's good growth. But I think that the Great Commission that was given to us wasn't one of get people healthier and healthier and better churches, but it's make disciples of all nations. Baptize them, teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. So I think that's something that I just want us to spend some time praying into. So what I want to do is I'm going to pray over this, and if you would be led to come forth and to also pray, I would invite you to do that. So logistically, how I want this to work is I'm going to open us in prayer. If you would be interested in also praying, you know, if you're willing to take that step out of your comfort zone, take a step of faith and join me in that, I'd ask you to come forward while I'm praying. And if no one comes forward, we'll go on, and I'm trusting that that prayer is, you know, my prayer over us and for us, and that is enough. But if you are willing to come forward and pray and commit yourself and commit our church to the view of helping people find Jesus, helping people follow him, bringing more people from death into life in the power of Christ, I would ask you to come forward while I'm praying. There will be a microphone for you to pray as well. I think, you know, God can work and does work powerfully through prayer. So I would ask that you stand with me, and I'm going to pray. And again, if you'd like to come forward while I'm praying to also join in prayer, you are welcome to do so. So Lord God, we come before you broken by sin. Lord, you have continually promised us that your Spirit will do a good work of convicting us of sin and of righteousness. And so, Lord, I come first for myself. as someone who lives a life that is not as oriented towards meeting people and sharing your good news with them as it should be. Lord, I recognize that there is a call that you have given to each of us, not just to believe the good news, but to share the good news. Lord, that you have put us in this place, in this time, for a reason. To be your ambassadors in this place. And so, Lord, would you work in my heart and in our hearts of all of those who agree that you are good and that you work. Lord, would you put fresh vision in our lives, ways that we can utilize our hobbies, ways that we can utilize the time that we spend in our neighborhoods, with our families, in parks, wherever, Lord, even in restaurants, places like that, where we are just doing things that are normal for us and never really thinking about the people that are around. Lord, would you open our eyes to those hearts that don't yet know you, those lives that are searching for something, that don't have a name for what they're looking for. Lord, would you convict them through us? Lord, would you show them the love that you have, this kindness, this great kindness that you have given to us that leads us to repentance? Lord, we ask again that you would do a work in Dorseyville, in Pittsburgh, Lord, in this place. Would you make your name great? Lord, we don't ask this for our church size. We don't ask this so we can say that we're a church of any number or of any amount. But Lord, we don't want our glory. We want yours. So God, would you show your glory in this place? Would you empower us through your Spirit to be your ambassadors? Would you grow our church in depth and in width, that we would be a unified church that is growing in knowledge of you, love for you, and love for others. So God, work in our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Actually, no, you're not. Sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't read the passage yet. So if you could stand up again, if you're willing and able, and I'll understand if you don't. We're going to be reading today from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, continuing our series through the book of Ephesians. So we're going to start with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Do you want to pray? Okay.